Hello and welcome to the call. I'd like to give you a little information about how the call will work and then we'll get started. I'd appreciate it if everyone would kindly hit the 6 button on your cell phone so we can mute all background noises. And that's everyone, of course, except our guests. And at the end, I'll take a few questions, and at that time, I'll ask those of you who have questions to press the 6 button again so we can hear you. The format for the call is simply that I will interview our guest, Anne-Marie Kelly, who will be our first guest in our series, Finding Purpose at Midlife. When we're finished the interview, I'll open the line for questions. So let's get started. For those of you who don't know me, I am Dotsie Bragel, and I'm the founder of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, which can be found at nabbw.com, and boomerwomenspeak.com, which are the number one sites on major search engines for baby boomer women. I'm passionate about educating and empowering boomer women, which happens to be my generation. And our sites, for your information, are proudly sponsored by dolans.com. If you're interested in excellent financial information that will encourage you to live a more financially responsible midlife, then please visit dolans.com. And then we're also sponsored by Elations, which is a daily drink supplement that offers relief for joint aches and pains. It's an alternative to taking big pills, and you can find them at elations.com. Okay, let's see. Since launching Boomer Women Speak 5 years ago, I've been connecting, encouraging, and supporting Boomer women on a daily basis. And I guess really my passion is educating and empowering women at midlife. So I'm really excited about this series. If you're not a member of the NABBW, the fee to join is typically $75, but if you're on the call and a guest of any of our speakers this month, we'd like to extend you the opportunity to join for $60, and you can do that by simply emailing me at dots@nabbw.com. We have given a few web addresses and some little bits of information out so far that you might want to jot down. So if you don't have a pen and paper, you may want to get one because I think you might want to take, jot some information down about what Anne-Marie has to say. But also know that if you're a member of the association, we offer the audio links to these teleseminars, and we also have them transcribed so you can read them, actually print them out, read them, make notes, highlight, do whatever you want. At a later date, and those are sent to our members in the weekly updates, and they're also archived on the members-only section of nabbw.com. Okay, let's see. Today, I'll be interviewing Anne-Marie Kelly, who's the author of Victorious Woman, Shaping Life's Challenges into Personal Victories. Next week, we'll be interviewing Prill Boyle, who's the author of Defying Gravity, A Celebration of Late Blooming Women. And the topic for her teleseminar is Step Out of Your Comfort Zone. And she will teach us some techniques for taking risks and creating the life of your dreams. And then our last teleseminar in this series will be with Karen Gail Lewis. And her topic will be discovering how relationships can keep you from your dreams. And she'll talk about the truth about some of the important people in our lives and how they really can be the ones who are holding us back. She's a therapist and an author and an expert on this topic. So it should be a fun series. And if you're on the call today and you're not a member of the association, I believe you probably have the information for the upcoming calls. Okay, let's get started. Anne-Marie, are you there?
I am here.
Good. Okay. Anne-Marie takes her message of victory to businesses, corporate affinity groups, and women's conferences and professional associations. She's a dynamic speaker, a seminar trainer, and author of the book, Victorious Women, Shaping Life's Challenges into Personal Victories. She believes in turning life's setbacks into springboards for success and victory. She's often described as motivational, energizing, engaging, validating, practical, and very down-to-earth. Her Smart Women at Work and Smart Women in Transition programs give women strategies for handling adversity, transforming challenges into opportunities, becoming leaders in their lives and communities, and achieving positive change both at home and at work. She uses great stories from her own life, as well as those of women about whom she writes and speaks, as compelling examples of how every woman can do more of what she wants and be more of who she really is and have more of the life of her dreams. With energy, empathy, and a yes, you can do it attitude, she shows her listeners, readers, and clients how to find inspiration and direction so that they too can shape their challenges into new beginnings and fabulous victories. She currently lives in Chester County, Pennsylvania with her spouse, and she finds her greatest joys come from ballroom dancing and traveling with her husband. She enjoys an eclectic choice of music, reading mystery novels, soaking in the beauty of nature, and being in the company of good friends. Her website is victoriouswoman.com. Okay, if you entered the call late and you haven't pushed the 6 button to mute background noises, we're getting a little bit of background noise here. If you'd be kind enough to push the 6 button on your phone, that would be helpful. Okay, I think that did it. Okay, let's get started, Anne-Marie. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Good. And if you don't mind speaking up just a little so that it'll come through loud and clear on the audio and that we'll be able to transcribe this easily.
That's great. How's this?
Okay. Pretty good.
Is that better?
Yeah, better. Okay. Anything that you want to tell us before we get started with the interview? You have a special on your books on your site right now
Thank you.
Sure.
I do. Well, this is Victorious Woman Month. It's International Victorious Woman Month, and the deadline is this Saturday, May 10th. But if any of your listeners have a story to tell and would like to share it with others, there's a Victorious Woman Essay Contest, and the rules for that are on my website. And I have a special this month for the Victorious Woman book, Victorious Woman, and that's 2 books. With every 2 books that you purchase, you get 1 free.
Oh, okay. Good.
And the other thing, Dotsie, is that every year for Victorious Woman Month, I make up a calendar with 31 different things to do during the month of May, obviously one a day, that will help you to get your victory juices flowing. So that's a free download. When you go in and you put in your are we getting feedback here?
Yep. Can somebody push the 6 button if you came on the phone late? Are you experiencing that on your end? I'm not sure. Okay, is that better? Hello?
I'm here.
Okay, I'm not sure what's going on, but we're getting some feedback.
Yeah, we're getting some feedback.
Okay. Are you on a cell phone, Anne-Marie?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Do you like me to hang up and dial back in?
Yeah, you can try that.
Try that.
Go ahead.
Right.
Hey, ladies, bear with us. Sorry about this. Okay, Anne-Marie, are you there? She hung up and is calling back in. So I'm hoping that maybe her phone was the problem. Anne-Marie, is that you? Okay, just hang on for a couple more seconds and she should be right with us. Okay, Anne-Marie, is that you?
Okay, Dotsie, how's that?
It's better. Okay. So anyway, you want to finish what you were saying?
Yeah, I was talking about the Victorious Woman calendar, and that's a free download, and when you go in, you put in your email address and your name, and it'll take you right to the calendar. And that will also put your listeners onto my email list, and I can send them my quarterly newsletter and then special offers for classes and teleseminars that I have coming up.
Okay. All right. Let's get started then with if you don't mind telling us, how choosing victory can transform our lives.
Well, when you choose victory, the first thing you do is you set an intention for your life's destiny. And the intention for victory is that your life honors your highest and best self, which is your victorious self. And secondly, it means that you make an agreement with yourself that you won't settle for merely surviving your life. And that's something that we boomers, you know, probably talked about as teens or young adults during that phase of our lives. And then stuff happened. Life happened. And maybe we got sidetracked with, you know, having children or careers or something that, you know, needing to make money and choosing careers that may not have been all of what we wanted at that time. Or maybe we changed. Maybe we've been in a transition. So choosing victory is that agreement that you're not going to settle for just surviving every day. So choosing victory now in midlife means consciously making the choices that will push you to be more of who you really are and do more of the things that satisfy your soul and have more of the life that you really want. And when you look at life with that be, do, have in mind, then you just aren't as likely to settle for the stuff you don't want, and that transforms your life.
Okay, and do you ever recommend that women kind of share that almost vow with another woman or journal it or do anything to make themselves more accountable to that vow?
I do. I think it's really important. I do it. With my clients, I create victory teams. And within my own circle, I have it's sort of on the order of a mastermind kind of group.
Right.
And yes, I find that when it's one of the Victorious Woman model segments is that you get support and then you are accountable for what you're telling people that you're going to do. So, for example, in a victory team, the way that I set up the victory teams is that someone will come to a meeting and they get maybe 20 minutes of time, usually given the number that we have, 20 minutes of time just for themselves, and then everybody kind of brainstorms for them, and at the end they make a commitment. And when they come back the next time, they are talking, they report on how they did with what they committed to, and it becomes very powerful.
Right.
I think a lot of times we can get easily sidetracked with many things, and especially with a society that really doesn't always support our victory.
Okay, and you know, that's something that this call really isn't about, but it reminds me of the whole philosophy behind coaching and how important coaching can be, because it does hold you accountable. Okay, well, let's move on, because we have a lot to cover. How about sharing with us how victory differs from, like, success and just goal achievement?
Well, I think a lot of times we can achieve a goal and be successful but not really have a victory, and the reason is because sometimes when we have a success or we achieve a goal, it's kind of, you know, a recipe. We did A, B, C, and then we got here, and that's a good thing. You can't take anything away from that. But the victory comes in the stretch that we have to make to overcome a challenge. And probably one of the best examples that I have personally for that is that about not quite 15 years ago, I joined a weight loss program, behavior modification program, to lose weight. And I lost 50 pounds. Mm. And the success was that I, you know, followed that plan. I, you know, restricted my calories. I did, you know, exercise and things like that. And I lost 50 pounds. And that was really a good thing. And it was a great success. It was a goal achieved. The victory stretch has been in maintaining not all, but most of that weight loss. Because the victory stretch made me do several things. I had to change lifelong eating habits. You know, I grew up eating a lot of sweets and eating after dinner and eating if I was happy and eating if I was sad, eating for anything.
Right.
My pattern. You know, it was a lot of food. It was sweet food. It was emotional eating. And then suddenly I had to learn new ways to deal differently with the emotions that I had previously been numbing with food. So that was a big stretch for me. And then another stretch was making exercise a part of my life. Mm-hmm. And as I've gotten older, I've continued to stretch in accepting my body and my new metabolism and, you know, not understanding why midlife means midsection. So, you know, it's kind of those things, but being able to accept what happens. That's for, and continuously, for me, it's a constant challenge. So I'm continuously having the opportunity to have that victory.
Okay, and so basically, it's just implementing the life changes to maintain it.
It's implementing them, and the implementation is really the challenge because, you know, for my whole life, I had, you know, I had different patterns, and that's what we all do. Whether it's, you know, whether we are leaving the home and going out to work for the first time in years, or doing other things that are, you know, we're in some kind of a transition. Maybe a spouse is sick, or we're in a divorce after maybe 20 or 25 years of marriage. Those kinds of things. Well, we have to get through. But the stretch is overcoming the challenges and making and being okay. Mm-hmm. Learning how to gracefully handle the challenges and overcome them.
Okay. How about if we talk a little bit about the four lifestyles that you discussed that can either support or sabotage us?
That's great. It's one of the biggest things that I learned in interviewing so many of the women that I interviewed for Victorious Woman. I learned that there were two lifestyles that pretty much sabotage your victory. And the first one is that of the victim. And, you know, all of your listeners know this. That one person that no matter what they do, they'll tell you that no matter what they do, they just can't seem to get ahead, or it just can't seem to work right, or, you know, life must be against them. And we know that when we talk to those people, you know yourself, when you see somebody like that and you give them advice, what do you think that they say?
I'm sure they just deny the advice, but
yeah, or they think, oh yeah, or they do the yeah buts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, but And that particular person seems to think that in that lifestyle, a woman just feels like everything's out of her control. She has a pattern of making poor choices, and she makes one poor choice and it takes her to a worse place, and then in that worse place she makes another poor choice, and it brings her to an even worse place, and it becomes a vicious cycle. And she kind of just doesn't understand that if she would just change her choices,
mm-hmm.
and not that that's a simple thing, but if she made different choices and better choices, she could change her whole life. She just doesn't connect to the fact that so many of the things that happen are things that she could make better choices about. And one of my best examples for this is a woman who she's lost her job, and she came to our church. And there were many people who just bent over backwards trying to help her, and even got her a grant to take a course so she could upgrade her computer skills and would be able to get a better job. And right before she started the course and the grant money came right to her, she went to a Star Trek convention and spent all of that money.
Oh, okay.
And then she was, you know, then she was in that same spot. And eventually, people were upset with her. And then she was upset because, don't you understand, I was depressed. Well, yes, we understand that you could be depressed, but that money was supposed to be used to help you move forward.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she just, you know, it was that vicious cycle. She made one bad choice after another. Mm-hmm. And that's that person who just never seems to connect with anything but that victim mentality. And the other sabotaging lifestyle is the surviving lifestyle. And this is a person who I just isn't on her own list. I remember Wynonna Judd was on Oprah a couple of years ago, and she said, you know, I just wasn't on the list. And that's what so many of us do, Dotsie. Don't you think that we're not only, if we're on our list at all, we're at the bottom of the list.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, with anybody else, if they start at the bottom of the list, eventually they work their way up to the top.
Mm-hmm.
But in that surviving lifestyle, that person stays at the bottom of the list and never gets up to the top. So their needs never seem to get addressed, or they're not even on the list. And even more importantly, is they're not on anybody else's list either.
And don't you think by midlife we should learn that lesson by now, that we should be on the list? And really at this stage, it's okay for us to be at the top of our list.
Well, I think that's good, and I think it's important. And yes, we should have learned that by this time, by this midlife time, we need to. But if we haven't, this is a good time to get started and know that you have to be on the list, and other people need to have you on their list too, because the surviving woman has a PhD in accommodations. She's always accommodating somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll rearrange her schedule, and she'll stay up late, and she'll get up early, and she'll do all of these things to accommodate spouse, children, parents, coworkers, all of these things. And then when it comes time for her to ask for help, you know, she might ask her kids, and you know, to help her with something, and it's like, geez, Mom, if I'd only known that you needed help, I would have made arrangements, but I have something else to do. And it's almost as though there's a thought process in the heads of other people that the surviving woman is just sitting around waiting to take orders from somebody else because they don't have anything else to do. And, you know, obviously that's not the case, but when a woman is only accommodating of other people and doesn't have an expectation of being accommodated in return, then she's cheating herself, because other people need to be able to accommodate her. And that's that part of being on her own list and being on somebody else's list.
Right.
So that surviving woman settles for what she can get instead of going after what she wants.
Right. And it's really just a change in your thinking and in you know, where you place your interests and you know, just you personally. You have to put yourself at the top.
Yes, you're right. And it starts with that change in a thought process. And, you know, as you all are listening to this, think about where you are in that process. Are you accommodating everybody else but afraid to ask for help? Because so often I hear this from women. It's, well, I think that's really good, but, you know, I don't think anybody, you know, they might be specific. I don't think my spouse would go along with that, or I don't think I could get my kids to, you know, clean the bathroom, do their own laundry, or something that would free up time for that woman. So it's not having that expectation of accommodation.
Right. You know, I can give a perfect example of this. I started a rowing class. And I made it to 5 classes, and then I missed 4 because I was sick with a really bad stomach infection. Mm-hmm. And I need to go back to that rowing class tonight, but you know what I'm doing? Oh, you know what? My daughter comes home from college tonight, and this isn't really a good time for me to take up a new interest. I think that, you know, she'll be home every Tuesday and Thursday night. She'll be home on Saturday mornings. What if she needs me? I really probably shouldn't go to rowing tonight, and maybe I'll just pick it up again in the fall when she goes back to school. I'm doing that right now.
I know. We are so good at talking ourselves out of stuff.
And I really want to do it, but it's, mm-hmm. it's interesting. That's what clicked for me. So I'm sure that there are other women on the call who are thinking of something where they're putting themselves at the bottom of the list and everybody else first, whether it has to do with discovering a new passion. I mean, you really can't pick up something new and run with it if we're going to put everybody else at the top of our list. Okay, go on. What about
and it's, you know, there's not, and the thing, Dotsie, is that we like to accommodate others. It's not that I'm advocating getting out of being a surviving woman by becoming totally selfish, because I don't think that often makes us feel good either.
Right.
But it's
right.
Just that idea of maintaining that balance of things that are important to you and having people who understand that those things are important to you. It is, again, it's that expectation of accommodation.
Right.
And that's what's different about the difference between the surviving woman and the advancing woman, is that the advancing woman is on her list. And she's careful about taking care of her needs and her desires. And she likes to care for others and accommodate them, but when it's her turn to be accommodated, she really does expect that those people are going to make adjustments for her the way she makes adjustments for them.
And you know what? They will. They will, when the expectation is there.
And that's what, and it goes back to what you were saying about that thought process.
There's right,
a thought
right.
process that either says, "Oh, it's not that. That's just not going to happen," or a thought process that says, you know, I do it for them, they can do it for me.
Right, and I have to make it happen. Okay, what else?
Well, advancing is the skill-building garden for growing victories, because that's where you learn a lot of the victory skills. And then you go on to Victorious, and so many of the women that I interviewed for Victorious Woman really felt that that was sort of a mixed blessing. If there was a death or an illness or something that was the thing that precipitated their opportunity for victory, it was not always something that they asked for. But for each of them, when they were faced with that adversity, they really stepped up to the plate and they, you know, it wasn't like they said, bring it on, but they said, here I am. Now I have to figure out what to do with it that's going to be the right thing to do. They didn't give in. They didn't back away. They really went and said, I'm going to do this. And
okay.
And so the interesting thing, I interviewed several women who were on the stepping stone and stayed here. And, I call them stepping stones because we move around them in our lives. You know, sometimes we mm-hmm. take a couple steps forward. Sometimes we take a couple steps back. You know, sometimes we take we go a little left and a little bit right. And eventually we start moving forward again. And one of the things that I noticed in Victorious was that some of the women I interviewed were living in their victory, even though it was years and years before, and they never moved on. They never moved back to advancing to learn new skills and move past any new challenges.
Mm-hmm. So you encourage people to keep changing and keep trying new things and kind of getting new things under your belt.
I do. In Victorious, in fact, in the Victorious Woman Month calendar, one of the things I ask women to do is write down 5 of your victories. Don't ever forget them because they're the things that make you who you are. However, if you just stay on that, then you stay stagnant. You need to go back and keep developing skills so that you can handle the next challenge that comes along and create the next victory.
Mm-hmm. Now, would you agree that some people have accomplished these skills in certain areas of their lives but not others? Like maybe to compare personal with professional or something like that?
Yeah, and I see that. It's funny. I see it a lot in both ways. Women who could run a whole household
mm-hmm.
and raise kids and did all of those things, and then when it comes to going back into the workplace, they get very timid.
Right.
Or Kathy Zingaro Clark, one of the women in Victorious Woman, was at the top of her field when she married a man who she had known for 20 years, and she just couldn't get it. It was in her personal life. She was so in control of her professional life, and in her personal life, you know, her marriage didn't even last 2 years, and she was in her 40s when she got married, and she ended up at the end of that time, that I guess it was 18, 19 months that she was married, and she was broke and homeless and out of a job.
Hmm.
So here she could now, she, you know, went back to work and she used all of her professional skills. But, yeah, I think that's very true.
And a big thing is change, too, period, just change.
Yep.
And how we react in the face of change. Okay, you know what, we have to really keep moving along here because we're running out of time. But what about tell us the 6 skills that we need to develop, you know, a new lifestyle that will help us meet with success.
Well, the first skill is the one that is the most important skill for every woman to really get, to really develop,
mm-hmm.
and that's self-control.
Mm-hmm.
And when I talk about self-control, I'm not talking about, you know, the self-control you need to stay on a diet or go out and exercise. I'm talking about control of yourself, and self is in capital letters. It's control of who you are. It's knowing what you really want. It's having your own agenda. It's that, you know, it's on that advancing woman skill of getting, knowing those things that you want and having a direction of your own. And the truth of the matter is, if you don't get your own agenda, somebody else is going to give you one.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not be one that's necessarily to your liking. It's one that will meet their needs, and it isn't likely their agenda to help us be, do, and have our best.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like this. If you've ever made plans to go to dinner or a movie, and you know you're sitting around, nobody can decide the restaurant or what movie, and then finally somebody says, "Well, let's go here," and you go to a restaurant that isn't what you're it maybe isn't your style, or maybe it's more expensive than you like, or if it's a movie, you go to a movie that's depressing instead of funny, and you only like funny movies. Well, guess what? You didn't have control of yourself. You weren't in touch with what it was that you really wanted, and then you got stuck doing something that you didn't want.
Okay, good example. Okay, what about number two?
Well, that's passionate persistence, and that means having the passion for whatever it is that you really want to do. If you want to go, I just got my degree. I got my degree 7 years ago. You know, it was way past normal age for graduation, but I really wanted to get it. By the time that I went back to college, I really wanted to do it, and I was persistent, and it pushed me. It's the same thing that when I started my business, or in any of the endeavors that I've had with the program that I was talking about, the behavior modification. It's having that passion and persistence to get started and to keep it going. And the next one is executive consciousness. And I always laugh when women say, well, that's a corporate thing. Yeah, but there are women who are running a household, and they're keeping schedules. They're keeping sometimes 3, 4, 6, 8 schedules. Because they're not only, for those of us who are boomers, we're not only taking care of kids, we're taking care of parents too.
Right.
So we're keeping all kinds of schedules, and that's what that means. So we have to think like an executive. And so when women talk about their lives and they don't see it in terms of a big picture, you need to ask yourself, what's the big picture for your life? And what am I doing to bring my big picture into reality? Who needs to be involved? And what's going on around me? And when women say, when women talk about that, sometimes women say, well, but, you know, they give me, you know, like some resistance. And then my example then is this. We already do this, whether it's at work or at home. And an example would be for a dinner party or a wedding. What's the big picture? What do you want to see the end result be? If your kids are getting married, how do you want to see that day turn out?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you need to do to bring that picture into reality?
Okay.
So you start talking maybe wedding planners, or you get some books, and then who needs to be involved? Well, everybody from the church to the caterer to the band, all of those people need to be involved.
So basically, what you're saying, Anne-Marie, then, is that you need to have this very same type of functionality when it comes to figuring out what you want to do next.
Yep, we already know how to do it. We just have to transfer that skill to thinking about our future.
Okay, good. All right, go ahead. What's next?
And then initiative is the willingness to take action. And very often, this is one of the best places for a victory stretch because, you know, very often, we say, oh, you know, I started it, but, I got stuck here, or I got stuck there. And my own example, when I decided to go back to college and finish getting my degree, the hardest thing, probably my biggest victory stretch in the whole process, was making that first phone call to the university and finding out what was available to me. I'd met somebody at a networking function. They said, we have a program that might fit for you. And, you know, when I got on that phone call, I cried.
Mm.
I was so nervous. I was so upset. I was so just disappointed that I was waiting so long and finally getting to do it, and had a lot of things going on. You know, it's like what all of us do. We have a lot of yamma stuff going on, and we use that as an excuse not to take an action.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it's kind of, you know, it's okay, so you want to go back to your rowing class tonight, and you're kind of, you know, talking yourself out of it.
I know, it's ridiculous.
The victory stretch is to say, this is important to me, and I'm moving forward, and that's the initiative.
I know. I hope I do that.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure you will.
Okay, go ahead.
And then, of course, then when it comes to influence, Jean Ott, who is the founder of Women Unlimited, a mentoring company out of New York, is one of the women I interviewed for Victorious Woman. And she tells women that it isn't who you know, but who knows you know. And very often what happens for women is that we find our friends and we kind of hang out with two or three people, And we don't make friends in a larger circle. Friends who will know that we have a certain talent or that we have a certain capability or that we need to have some or that we have a need for something to be met. And so we tend not to create influence around us. So it's an area, men really do this well. They create all kinds of influence. All of us know men who do this little thing, and they make it seem so big, and they tell everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And yet very often a woman does something that's really big, and she can barely take a thank you.
Yeah, that's I can understand that. I know women like that. I understand that.
And so it's nothing. I had a lot of help. Instead of saying, thank you, I worked mm-hmm. hard on that, and I appreciate that you noticed.
Right.
And
right.
If they're in a position where, let's say it's in the workplace, and they know somebody gives them a compliment, they could say, thank you, I appreciate that you noticed, and maybe you could say something to my boss. And
wow.
That's part of creating influence.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Today, it's just what we're not used to saying.
Right.
And, of course, and the final one is leadership, and that's understanding that you are teaching by your example and taking that responsibility of leadership. We do it so often in ways that we think are not important. And yet so many women have said to me, I just wish my daughter would do these things that you're talking about. The truth of the matter is children learn what they live.
Mm-hmm.
And so the most important thing then would be for mom to step out and taking that leadership role, really get into her own victory, on her own victory path, and her daughters will learn by that example.
Okay. Okay, now you say there's one skill that you really have to develop first. What is that?
Well, that's that idea of self-control. It's really getting a handle on the fact that you need to have your own agenda.
Okay.
That you, yeah.
And stick with it. And mm-hmm. you know, and work at it and journal about it and stay on top of it until you really begin telling others and taking steps, right?
Yes, and the most common mistake that women make is to sabotage their victory is to give away our power.
Okay.
And we do it first by not having self-control.
Okay, give
and
me
we
an
also
example.
Give our a lot of times this comes up in the area of finances.
Mm-hmm.
And Lisa Lippincott owns a group of coffee shops, and she has a financing background. And she worked in financial – in fact, before she started the coffee shop, she was going to become a financial planner.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of her degree is in science and in the sciences. But she really had that creative bend, and she started to make this coffee shop. And the more coffee shops she opened, and she was one of Inc.'s 500 fastest-growing companies in 1 year, she just wanted to do all the creative stuff. And then she didn't want to do all the mundane stuff of bookkeeping and
right.
You know, and hiring and training, and she just wanted to open new stores.
Mm-hmm.
And so she hired somebody to handle the finances.
Mm-hmm.
And within a year, she was almost bankrupt. And her victory was pulling her company out of near bankruptcy, and that's when she decided she was taking back her power. Because she'd just given it over to somebody else because it wasn't something that was fun for her to do.
Hmm.
And I think that so often that we just give away our power to parents or children or friends instead of standing up for ourselves, saying no, getting involved in a way that is meaningful for us.
Mm-hmm. And maybe out of the ordinary for us, but something new that we need to learn.
Yeah, and a lot of times, as I said, finances is the area of finance is a really big area that many of us really need. And something that I personally find very powerful is that I keep a separate bank account that is just for, I call it running money. And, you know, every once in a couple times a year I put some money into it, and I always feel that if I just want to take off one day by myself, I have the money to do it. My spouse has one also. to tell you the truth, we never use it. We've never run away, but the only thing I've ever used my running money for is my education. But you know what? When I wanted it, it was there.
Mm-hmm.
And when I wanted to, if I want to do something, just the idea that I have this whole separate personal account, it's not my business account, it's not the household, it's just my spending money.
Mm-hmm.
That I can do whatever I want to do with it, anytime I want to do with it. And to know that I have that is ends up being very powerful. So often we mix our finances when my spouse and I first got married and we kept separate accounts and a joint account. People said, why are you doing that? You're married. Because I worked hard to develop myself as an individual and I wasn't giving it all up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I wasn't giving my power away to anybody else.
Yeah, finance is a whole nother seminar. But what about the three tips that will help you avoid making the mistake of, you know, losing that power?
Sure. Well, the first thing, what you want to do is a gut check. You want to say, when you're in that position where a decision has to be made, or somebody, most often how I find this happens is somebody else wants you to do something, whether it's buy a house or, you know, sign a home equity loan or something like that. You have to do a gut check and you have to say, do I really want this? How does it feel? We are so intuitive and we have such wonderful internal resources that we very often just ignore.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a matter of saying, do I really want this? And then the second thing is, am I willing to pay the price? Because every action has a reaction. It's that whole law of cause and effect.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are doing something and you can logically say, this is something I want to do, that's one thing. But if you agree to do something and give your power away, that would be giving in. And if you're giving in, are you willing to pay the price for giving in?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the third thing is you look at whatever that decision is and say, will it take me closer to my big picture or further away?
Mm-hmm.
So if you do that gut check and you say, you know, am I willing to pay the price, and is this going to take me closer to the life that I really want to live, then you're going to be very much more careful about giving away your power.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's see. I do have a few more questions, but we only have about 12 more minutes. All of this information that you're sharing is really mapped out in your book. Is that right?
It is. The way that Victorious Woman is set up, it's the first and last chapter, I call them the bookend chapters because the first chapter pretty much sets the stage of what victory is and some of what I've talked about and obviously much more. And then in the last chapter, I talk more about the stepping stones and the Victorious Woman model and the six skills for a woman to advance her life. And then the middle chapters, the nine chapters in the middle, tell stories of different women, some of them I've mentioned today, tell those stories and how they, the one thing that I was very careful about and that I really had a desire to do was not to tell snippet stories and this thing happened and then ta-da, she's head of a Fortune 500 company. That's not the story I told. I told the stories as we lived them, the ups, the downs, the goods, the bads, and how a woman made a decision to come out of her particular challenge. And at the end of each chapter, if you've resonated with the information in that chapter or that woman's story, then I give you some self-help kinds of questions that will take you to the next step.
Okay, let's see if anybody on the call is brave enough to share something that they might be going through that perhaps you can help them figure out what the next step is. Does that work for you?
Yep, that's fine.
Okay, let's see if anybody has a question. If so, please push the 6 button so we can hear you. Is anybody going to be brave enough to ask a question?
Anna, hi. My name's Julie.
Hi, Julie.
I'm from Missoula, Montana, and I was invited to participate in this by a friend who is a member, and she said, you know, you need to check out this group, and you might be interested in this. So I thought, okay, I'll take a listen. I'm 48 years old. I lost my job about 6 months ago. And let me get my speaker off here. I lost my job about 6 months ago, and I live in a college town in Montana where the pay scale is very low. And there are two other women who are middle-aged women in their 40s, also still looking for jobs here. And we're basically, you know, we're talking the other day, and basically we're being forced to go back into the workforce at entry-level positions, and it's very hard. And I listened to you talk about, you know, not giving away your power. I know so many women who, you know, have settled for less. They've taken pay cuts of $5, $6, $7 an hour. And, you know, and I'm fighting really hard not to do that, but I'm not finding anything. I know that, you know, I eventually would like to be a professional speaker, and, I wrote a book 6 years ago, but I've not gotten it published. It's just a little children's book. But
did you hear that? It's just a little children's book.
Well, no. what I mean is it's not, you know, I don't know that if that's the direction I want to go. My background's been in marketing and public relations, and but I do love so many aspects of the media and helping people and that kind of thing. And I just don't know what my next step is. I'm writing down these things, going, yeah, self-control, passion, and persistence. And I've really been going around the whole globe, going, what do I want to do? What do I want to do with my life? I'm 48 years old. What is it that I want to do? And I there are a lot of things I'm interested in. I'm kind of a Jane of all trades, master of none, and I just don't know what step I want to go to next.
Well, I think the first thing, Julie, that if I could tell you this, that there's three things. You have to know what you want to do, you have to know how to do it, and then you have to do it. It sounds to me like you probably have the initiative to and the courage to do it. It's just that you're a lot of women are like this. What do I want to do? And a lot of women, because we're so resourceful, we have a lot of things that we can do. You have to pick one, because it's the difference.
That's hard.
It is hard, but it doesn't mean you have to pick one forever.
Right.
But it means that you have to pick one that you feel really passionate about and really go through and take the steps. I think it's the difference between men and women in that men pick something and they go after it. I see it with my spouse. He's really good. He's a muscle therapist. He's really good at massage. And that's his passion. He has no other thought but to do it, and he just soars. Mm-hmm. He's at the top of his field. And he has a waiting list. He has, you know, so many good things. And at one point I looked and I thought, how is he doing that? And he thought, you know, it's the only thing he really wants to do. He has a true passion for it. Mm-hmm. What are you passionate about, Julie?
Photos. I love photos, and I love telling stories. I love telling stories. People, I mean, that's pretty much what I've done my whole life. And but I have to create that niche for me. I'm trying to find out how I can use those skills to, you know, to make a living. That would be a good thing. Having an income is a good thing.
Yeah.
Help pay the bills.
That's right. Yep.
And you know, I've been mulling over some of those ideas.
Can I make a recommendation? Because I know we're not going to solve this on the call, but I would recommend journaling. Do you journal?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Not every day.
Okay, but if you get in the habit of journaling every day, just, you know, what comes to mind, basically ask yourself, what I want to be when I grow up is really what you're asking yourself.
Exactly.
And just start playing with a bunch of ideas and start following them through on paper, what I would need to do this, and this would be my next step in this, and work it out for a few different things, and then figure out which one feels best to you, which one you really are jazzed about. Start talking to friends about it and just make it grow. And you know, I tap into the forums at boomerwomenspeak.com. There are a lot of articles at nabbw.com. If you're not a member, consider joining. There's lots of great articles there and, you know, teleseminars that can help you maybe put your finger on it, or even if you're just reading what other women are doing and seeing how they're going about it, that's helpful. But I think the fact that you're on the call and that you're talking about it means you're heading in the right direction.
And I would add something else to that. If you have a Toastmaster group locally.
I am an area governor of Toastmasters
right now.
And I agree with you. It's a great resource. In fact, a fellow Toastmaster invited me on this.
Oh, good.
Okay. And then, of course, there's also your local chapter of the National Speakers Association.
Photojournalist sounds good to me for you. You say you like photos, didn't you?
Yeah, and I've worked in radio, television, newspaper. I just worked for a conservation organization. I was an editor. I enjoy that aspect of it. I need to find a niche here. Problem is, in this community, you know, writers, editors, artists, photographers are a dime a dozen because it's Montana.
So
I have to find that niche, and I'm talking to a lot of people. I'm on this call. I'm just trying to feel things out and see what direction I want
to
head.
I would recommend this to everybody who is in a similar position, that you may need to, and it sounds like you have some women that you already connect with, but you may need to get some kind of a mastermind group going. The person that comes to mind in my head is Rachel Coleman, who was one of my Victorious Woman of the Month women back in, I think she was February 07, and she had children who were born with disabilities, and her first child was born deaf. And as a result of her passion for wanting her child to be able to communicate with other children, she created a company called Signing Times. It started out as just a small, she went to schools and she did something small there as a volunteer. And it just grew, and she's been on her shows have been on PBS, and she has CDs and all kinds of things that she uses to teach children and adults how to sign so that they can communicate with those who are hearing impaired.
You know what, we're really running out of time. I just wanted to see if anybody else on the call had a question. Also, we have discounted coaching at the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, too, for women who are midlife. So that might be another thought. I really just think that a coach would be great, even if it's a friend, you know, but somebody that's just holding you accountable to continuing this journey of figuring out what you want to be when you grow up. It's a fun journey.
Well, I had a great job, and but I got laid off, and it's tough. I'm deciding whether I want to, you know, change careers or whatever. But I'll give somebody else some time. Thank you so much.
Okay.
I'll mute my phone so someone else can get on.
All right. Thanks, Julie.
Thank you.
Anybody else want to ask a question before we sign off for today? If so, you need to push the 6 button so we can hear you. Okay, it doesn't sound like there are any other brave souls on the call. Is that someone that wants to ask a question? No. Okay. Anything else you want to say, Anne-Marie, before we sign off?
I suppose the one thing that I really would like women to understand is that the process of becoming a victorious woman and creating victory, of redefining your life in midlife is, and you've said it, it's really exciting. It's so worth the effort. It's so worth being more of who you are and doing the things that satisfy your soul. It's just not always, you know, it's like Moses. It's not like Moses, where Moses went and the rivers parted and, you know, everybody walked across. It doesn't happen that way. It's a matter really of figuring out what it is that will really satisfy your soul. Julie made a really good point. She's like so many other women. What will satisfy your soul, and then how are you going to be able to make a living out of that thing that satisfies your soul?
Right. And there's a lot being written about this right now because so many boomers are at this stage. A lot of them are facing retirement, and they're either going to retire and reinvent themselves, or they're just going to keep working. So it's a good time, I think, to be in this place because there are lots of books. Do you have any recommendations of books or websites on this topic?
I do, and the first thing I was going through, and I of things that I had, and one of them is your journal. If you don't already journal, get a journal, and it doesn't have to be anything fancy. I have fancy ones and I have plain ones, mm-hmm. but I even keep a little spiral notebook in my handbag, and when I get an idea or something, I write it down, and I go back over it, because your journal will tell you so much about yourself in ways mm-hmm. that you just didn't realize, that when you're writing things down, you don't always hear the tonality or the energy behind your words until, you know, a month later when you go back and it's like, wow, I'm really excited about this. Mm-hmm. Or I didn't realize I was so negative about that.
Right. And the other thing about journaling that I share with people is oftentimes we have thoughts. And, you know, our minds are just so busy we don't always carry that thought to fruition. But when you journal, you do. And you really kind of work things out on paper, and I think it's really helpful, because if something's weighing on your mind, you know, it doesn't just like pass through and you're done with it. If you're journaling, you write it out and you get to the bottom of it. So journaling is good. How about any other books, you know, of course, other than yours? Do you have any other?
There's a book that I'm reading right now. The book on my nightstand is a book called Five Wishes by Gay Hendricks. Mm-hmm. And the interesting part, and for women who are like Julie, it's the idea of looking back on your deathbed and saying, what did I regret not doing?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If I could do it now, what would I do? And it's taking that regret, and the book is so worth reading. So if you can get your hands on a copy of Five Wishes by Gay Hendricks, and he also has a website, I believe it's fivewishes.com.
Okay.
There's a book called The Art of Friendship. And we women often pride ourselves on our ability to have a lot of friendships, but part of that whole piece of friendship is the ability to network effectively. And the art of friendship combines both being a good friend and knowing how to network.
Okay. Very good.
So those are three things, the journaling, Five Wishes, and the art of friendship. The art of friendship is by a father-daughter team, Roger Horchow, H-O-R-C-H-O-W, and Sally Horchow.
Okay. Let's see. I don't think we have anything else for the call. Let's say your web address again.
It's www.victoriouswoman, and that's woman singular, victoriouswoman.com.
Okay, and if you're on the call and you're not a member of the association, you can visit us at nabbw.com and also visit our forums at Boomer Women Speak, and that's plural, BOOMERWOMENSPEAK. Okay, Anne-Marie, thanks so much for doing our first in the series, and I hope you all will tune in next week when we have Pearl Boyle, who has written a really great book called Defying Gravity, where she interviews women who are at midlife and have chosen a new passion, and she shares their stories. However, she's not going to be just talking about her book. She is also really going to teach us how to step out of our comfort zones and learn some techniques to really take risks and create this life that we're dreaming about. So I hope that you all be on the call next week and visit us on our sites, and feel free to use the Contact Us buttons on our sites. Okay, we're really out of time, so thanks for being on the call, and have a great day.
Thanks, Dotsie. This was great.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.